The question is, in one of your most important books, Endgame, from 2006, you state in the beginning of volume two that, quote, civilization is not and can never be sustainable, end quote. Furthermore, this was, quote, especially true for industrial civilization, end quote. This sentence constitutes the basic theme of your work. What do you mean by civilization and what makes it unsustainable? Well, if you look in the dictionary, a lot of the definitions of sustainable, I'm sorry, a lot of the definitions of civilization are not particularly specific or rigorous. And you'll see definitions like the most advanced form of culture or the highest form of culture. And that's awfully self-serving and narcissistic, since we're the ones who make the definitions of what this is. That's like defining oneself as the most sophisticated person. I mean, it's just kind of crazy. Anyway, and it's also just not rigorous and defensible. It's very subjective. How do we define complex? How do we define sophisticated? How do we define advanced? And when I was writing Endgame, I wanted to come up with a rigorous, defensible definition of civilization. And the definition I came up with is civilization is a way of life characterized by the growth of cities. And that's defensible both linguistically and historically. Linguistically, civilization comes from the root civitatis, meaning state or city. And historically, when we think about the first civilizations or any civilizations, we really think about places with the rise of city, you know, whether it's the Near Eastern civilization, whether it's Indian civilizations, by which I mean Indian civilizations, whether it's the Aztec civilization, we think about the cities associated with them. And that's nice, Derek, but what's a city? So a city I define as people living in numbers large enough to require the importation of resources. And that, again, is defensible. I mean, this, I remember back in 1990 or so having dinner with my friend John Osborne, my environmental mentor, and him taking a napkin and drawing a little circle and saying, here's a city, and then a larger circle and saying, this is the area that the city has to denude. I mean, think about it. When you have, where does New York City get its water? Where does it get its food? Where does it get its bricks? Where does it get its wood? Those have to come from somewhere outside. And where do the wastes go? Where does the poop go? I mean, in the case of New York City, the poop used to be dumped in the ocean, and now it's trucked down to or sent by railroad down to Alabama. So cities require an influx of resources, and they require an outflow of wastes. And that differentiates a city from a village or a camp that the Indians who lived where I live now, the Talawa, they lived here for 12,500 years, and they didn't require the importation of resources. They were living in villages, camps. They did not live civilized, according to my definition. And they were also living more or less sustainably. They ate salmon and marine mammals and elk and salmon and more salmon and lamprey and then more salmon. And when the Europeans arrived, the rivers were still black and roiling with salmon. And a couple things happen as soon as you require the importation of resources. One of them is that your way of living can never be sustainable, because if you require the importation of resources, it means you've denuded the landscape of that particular resource. And as your city grows, it will denude an ever larger area. And this goes against pretty much everything we've ever been taught about evolution by the dominant culture, in that we're always taught that evolution is based on, just today somebody said humans are the dominant species on the planet. And they've sort of taken over, and evolution is based on dominating everyone around you and exploiting resources the most effectively or the most ruthlessly. It's basically capitalism projected onto the natural world. And that's not true. And I can show it's not true in one sentence if you give me a couple of semicolons. And that is, those creatures who survived in the long run have survived in the long run, semicolon. You don't survive in the long run by hyperexploiting your surroundings, semicolon. You survive in the long run by improving your habitat. How do we think that the world got to be so fecund, so incredibly full of life in the first place? Well, it's by salmon living and dying and making the forest a better place, and the Doug firs and the redwoods and the cedars all living and dying and making the habitat better by their existence. The way you survive is by actually improving your habitat. I'm not saying there is no competition in nature. There, you know, a big bear will chase away a little bear, and the salmon who can swim the fastest will probably maybe get past the bear. And so there is that sort of competition, but it's all based in this context of how does your community help improve habitat. Anyway, back to civilization. The civilization can never be sustainable because it's based on converting the living land base, the productivity of the land base, all into human use, which harms the land base. And it's based on converting that into the artifacts of cities and into more human beings. And the good news from the civilization perspective is that as your city grows, the bad news is that as your city grows, you're denuding an ever larger area. And the good news from the city's perspective is that you have more humans and you've converted the land base into weapons of war, and now you can go conquer other people. And the second part of this is that if you require the importation of resources, one, again, your way of life will never be sustainable because you're harming the land base. And even if you harm it a little bit, if you harm it a little bit every year, after 100 or 500 years, you will see, the land base will be destroyed, as we see in the Near East. Iraq was originally a cedar forest so thick the sunlight never touched the ground. I think you can see a couple trees there now, maybe. Anyway, the point is that something else happens too, which is if you require the importation of resources, your way of life must be based on violence. Because if you require the importation of resources, trade will never be sufficiently reliable. Because if you require the importation of resources, and the people in the next watershed over won't trade you for that resource, you will take it. And because you require it, it's not that this is not trading shells for buffalo robes. This is not trading things you don't need. This is trading for requirements, which means you'll take them. And so no, it can never be sustainable and it must be based on conquest. It's like Stanley Diamond, the anthropologist, said, civilization originates in conquest abroad and repression at home. So that was the first question. The second question is, are you still convinced that we're on this path to self-destruction? And yes, even stolid scientists are saying that the oceans could be devoid of fish by 2050. And I see no evidence that the destruction of the biosphere is slowing. In fact, every biological indicator is going the wrong direction, and we can't even have sane discussions about it, much less do anything about it. Discussions of what oil and coal are doing to the planet lead inevitably to, well, let's just replace them with industrial wind and industrial solar, which A, doesn't replace them, but instead adds on top, and B, couldn't replace them anyway because of various reasons we don't need to go into right now, but they have to do with energy density. The energy density of diesel fuel is, I believe, like 46 megajoules per kilogram or something, and the best lithium battery is about 1. So it's 1/46 the energy density of diesel fuel, which is why a diesel semi can go 600 miles on a tank of gas with a 60,000 pound payload and an equivalent electric battery powered semi would require 55,000 pounds of batteries to go that far, which means you have a 5,000 pound payload, which means there's no point. It's functionally irreplaceable. And this is all presuming the point here is that in response to the destruction caused by using oil and gas and coal, instead of stopping the destruction, environmentalists these days just want to fuel it a different way. And my real point is, we're still crazy and we're still killing the planet. And no, it's going faster than it's ever gone before. And at this point, we're killing insects. I mean, there's an insect apocalypse going on, which was not really happening so much, you know, 1,000 years ago. So yes, it's gotten much worse. And I don't see any slowing of the omnicidal culture. The third question, do I see any possibility that civilization ever comes to terms with its natural boundaries? No, because it's based on, it's a Ponzi scheme, and it has been from the very beginning. It's based on destroying the land base to expand, and because it keeps destroying land bases, it must keep expanding. That will not work on a finite planet. And what will happen is the same thing that's happened with every civilization in the past, which is it will collapse. And it cannot functionally stop expanding, which is one reason why when people talk about population, and yes, there's too many human beings on the planet, and there's too much, and the carbon footprint or the ecological footprint of these humans is too great, especially for industrial humans. But that doesn't alter the fact that when we talk about population, usually our conversation about that is every bit as crazy as every other bit of discourse in this society, in that when people think about overpopulation, usually what they're talking about is poor little brown children in Mexico City or somewhere. And yet, when the population of Russia or Japan, industrialized nations, starts to go down, as it should, then they get all worried and they start having sex holidays, which is holidays where you don't go to work and you're supposed to stay home and have sex so that they can have more babies. So, you know, I know we didn't ask about overpopulation, but overpopulation really fundamentally based on refusal to acknowledge limits, which one of the natural boundaries. We have too many people on the planet in great measure because, or in part, because we refuse to acknowledge ecological or biological limits on our expansion. And I could stop overpopulation just like that with no draconian measures. That's because more than half of the children who are born currently are not actively wanted. So all we need to do is to give women absolute reproductive freedom. And what do you know? Women who have choice over their own body normally want to not have 12 children. And so the point here is that we can stop overpopulation very quickly without doing anything terrible. The problem is that we, in order to do that, we only have to take on the Abrahamic religions and patriarchy in general, and also capitalism's growth imperative. So ain't gonna happen. So my point is, no, I don't see us acknowledging limits soon. In fact, when I see, when people try to curb off-road vehicle use, which is just toys for adults, people get very, very upset. We want no limitations on our behavior. And for crying out loud, they want to expand to Mars. And if you say that's a bad idea, then you're viewed as a crazy person. So yes, this culture will not voluntarily stop.